these four recommendations about the eating and the etiquette of eating and etiquette of sleeping, we have in narration from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, if you observe all these conditions, you do not need any physician. There is no more need for physician. Or for example, we have al-mi'datu baytudda. Stomach is the home for different kind of disease, emphasizing on the stomach. And the many diseases stem from this, you know, stomach. Of course, I can share a lot of other narration and verse of Noble Quran talking about Islamic medicine. Yeah. But for sure, we have Islamic medicine, and it has a lot of recommendation and a lot of cure and prevention for the human being.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Sheikhna, there are many actually questions in this regard that we want you to shed some light on. Sometimes it is being said that something like traditional medicine, okay, it is quite clear that some scientists, like for example Avicenna and others, came and developed this kind of knowledge and formulated it in the form of, let's say, a structured branch of knowledge. But as for the Islamic, you refer to the Islamic heritage, not the Prophet himself or Imams of Ahlul Bayt to be acting like a, let's say, physician. How can we actually prove that we really have Islamic medicine? For example, in the sense that Ahlul Bayt had some recommendations, that these recommendations can be looked at, like, for example, medical recommendations, and they really answer in cases of diseases. Let's make it more clear who are going to be the founders of this Islamic medicine. Are you talking about a certain, let's say, books or let's say a certain people who developed this knowledge, or no? You just refer to some recommendations that we receive, for example, from the Imams of Ahlul Bayt or the Holy Prophet. Like, for example, if you want to start eating something or you start your meal, start with a piece of salt and end your meal with a piece of salt. These recommendations are not going to be called as a set of, let's say, comprehensive branch of knowledge called medicine.
First of all, in order to answer your question, I would like to give you one example in this regard. For example, talking about the verse of Noble Quran, verses of Noble Quran are revealed to be a guidance, hudan linnas, guidance for all people. Okay, but there is in the verse of Noble Quran we have a lot of scientific points. There is no contradiction between having these scientific points and to be the purpose of Noble Quran, guidance of mankind.
Very true.
Okay, and to some extent, these points supporting the main goal of the Noble Quran. Okay, yeah. Of course, the founder of the Islamic medicine, as I said, is a noble prophet and his pure progeny. Through many narrations, they explained for us the Islamic medicine.
But the Prophet themselves and his successors refer to the physicians while they have been, let's say, diseased or while they have been ill. So if they were the founder of such knowledge or science, why didn't they themselves refer to themselves to cure themselves?
Of course, they have the knowledge of the Islamic medicine, but it doesn't create any problem if they go and refer to the, you know, physician. For example, look at a physician himself. He is a very qualified person. He has expertise. But sometimes he himself referred to a physician. Maybe one philosophy of that is to show the way for people. Mm-hmm. Okay? Or if to indicate to the people that they should refer to the physician and the best way maybe is to refer to that, physician. I want to say that there is no contradiction here. Yeah. You are a qualified person. You have knowledge. When it is necessary, you use that knowledge. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you yourself refer to that physician and to ask him to do a kind of checking for you in order to benefit from the knowledge of
but
that
we
person.
Have a well-known rule in Islamic sciences that referring to the one who is more knowledgeable, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرٍ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, or referring to a person who is a religious authority, to learn your, let's say, Islamic teachings from a person who is more knowledgeable in Islam for that. If they have been knowledgeable in such sciences, there was no need to refer to a person more knowledgeable than them in this branch of knowledge.
As I said, maybe they want to teach people. Maybe some part of the philosophy of that is to teaching people that they should refer to the physician. And of course, the physician that they refer to, even those physicians, they have traditional medicine. Not, mm-hmm. They have they enjoy to have the traditional medicine which was prevailing in that time. Mm-hmm. I want to say that in the time of the Noble Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, which kind of medicine was prevailing in that time? Mm-hmm. Okay, herbal medicine or traditional medicine? Just we want to say that this kind of medicine, whether you call it traditional or, for example, herbal, was existing in the time of the Noble Prophet.
We do not have an exact report that what kind of medicine was being practiced there. Because, Sheikh, in this country that we are living 3,500 years ago, cornea transplant was being done. I mean, cornea transplant is something quite new in the sense of surgery, even in the time that we are living now. Its age is less than two decades, but 3,500 years it has been practiced in this country, and the cases have been seen in the fossils that have been found in the city of Sukhta in Iran. See, so it means there might be, let's say, a kind of, profound format of medicine or medication, or let's say, different formats of even surgery at the time of the Holy Prophet. So we have no exact report of that.
The point that I want to say here, and I want to reiterate this point, is that this Islamic medicine, or, for example, beside that, traditional medicine or Iranian medicine, they are completing them each other, okay? Mm-hmm. They are completing each other. And we should enjoy from all sorts of the medicine, okay, whether Islamic, traditional, Iranian, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
The reason maybe, as I said, of course, we do not aware about the reason and the final philosophy that why Noble Prophet and his pure progeny, to some occasion, they refer to the, their time, their, physician of their time.
Yeah.
Maybe in order, first of all, it has a lot of philosophy. One of the philosophy is that these medicine are completing each other. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm qualified. I have Islamic medicine. I'm expert in that. I'm founder of that. Talking about the Noble Prophet and his pure progeny. But of course, we need other kinds of medicine in order to complete this, Islamic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that, we see, unfortunately, some people misusing this Islamic medicine or even traditional or any other medicine. They misuse that. They do not have comprehensive idea about Islamic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And they cause a lot of problem. But it doesn't refuse the Islamic medicine. And, of course, we can enjoy these Islamic medicine.
Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, for explanations and answers to the questions and this very show. Dear brothers and sisters, many thanks for your staying tuned and listening to QNN Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. with delight.
Hundreds of Pakistani youths have flown their kites from rooftops in the city of Rawalpindi, celebrating an ancient tradition despite a ban imposed on the festival. People buy or make their own kites to participate in the festival, marking the arrival of spring. Local fairs are also held on this day, where families meet and vendors sell food and decorative clothing. Many people wear different shades of yellow to welcome the new season. The festival can become competitive too, with kite fighting battles. In pursuit of victory, some kite flyers started using powdered glass of metal or metal on their kite strings to cut down other kites. The event was prohibited in 2007 after a slew of fatal accidents. The 37th edition of Fajr International Music Festival has wrapped up with an awards ceremony. During the annual event, music bands from Iran and the world took to the stage to perform their tunes. Yusuf Jalali has more.
From Iran's genuine traditional music to Italian tunes and Afghanistan's Qawwali music, music bands from many parts of the world have been performing on the stage of Iran's Fajr Music Festival. The 37th edition of the week-long event now came to an end with an award ceremony in Tehran, with best music performances cheered and awarded.
In the past 2 years, when the pandemic has cancelled concerts, my team focused on producing albums. I produced 3 albums, and one of them, titled Prime Meridian, won the award tonight.
Fortunately, I won the award for Best Composer tonight. I'm so glad that I was recognized and my work has been seen and appreciated in Iran's most prestigious music festival.
Italian jazz pianist Giovanni Guidi Egyptian oud virtuoso Mohammed Abu Zikri and German pianist Moritz Ernst were among the participants who performed during the festival. As the host, Iran had a strong presence, with pop, classic and traditional music ensembles performing in the festival. Music bands say Fajr Festival is one of the most ethnically diverse music event, where musicians with different nationalities can enjoy each other's performances.
No nation is at war with any other nation. It's the politics that imposes wars and divides nations. Now, such festivals help different nations to come together and listen to each other's music. This definitely bridges the gaps caused by politics.
Fajr International Music Festival is held as part of the nationwide celebrations in Iran, marking the victory of the 1979 Islamic Revolution. After a 2-year hiatus, the 37th Fajr Music Festival was held in person, but with a limited capacity amid the spread of the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. Fajr Music Festival offers a rare chance to listen to live music performances from different parts of the world. And this is where music transcends boundaries and interconnects nations, as it is a universal language that everyone can feel for and enjoy, no matter where they come from. I'm Yusuf Jalali in Tehran.
History shows a gun barrel never stops people from acquiring their learning tools. A bookshop in the besieged Gaza Strip is a testimony, as book lovers flooded the store months after it was flattened in an Israeli airstrike. The new Samir Mansour bookshop, funded by an international donor campaign, now stands some 200 meters from its original site. It was destroyed by an Israeli airstrike on the west of Gaza City last year. The new shop is spread across two floors and is stocked with some 400,000 books. They range from school texts to the Quran to Arabic translations of European literary classics. Hundreds of people, including writers and Palestinian officials, attended the bookshop's reopening. The store first opened its doors 30 years ago and is considered the oldest and the biggest in Gaza.
The City of London usually welcomes arts and culture from all over the world, including Iran. In our next report, Bianca Rahimi will be taking us to a performance that fuses music from across the East.
A dream has become a reality. The Conference of the Birds, composed by the brilliant young musician Meysam Marvasti and inspired by a poem of the same name written by poet Attar of Nishapur in the 12th century, performed here in London. It's a story all Iranians are familiar with, about an epic journey to find the Simurgh.
The Simurgh is to the east what the phoenix is to the west, a mythical creature that symbolizes transformation. And the story of the Simurgh is a spiritual one, full of courage, determination, and self-discovery.
Well, I think it's the first time I've seen so prominently advertised a non-Western musical traditional concert. And I've got a long-standing interest in music from the different parts of the Islamic world. It kind of evokes sort of deeper feelings, spiritual feelings. And the fact that this specific concert is about kind of a spiritual poem, it taps into something which I think a lot of us are looking for, especially in this post-pandemic, current pandemic situation. We're looking for some deeper meanings. So I think it will be striking a chord for a lot of people.
It's a mix, a fusion of different music, and that's always interesting. And it's Eurasian music, and it uses different instruments from across Asia to represent birds, and it just sounded lovely.
Even though there are differences, cultural differences, between these places and these peoples, and those differences should be recognised in general, but through things like music and art, there can also be synergy, and things can work together as well.
5 years in the making, the Conference of the Birds, conducted by Farnoush Behzad, brought together musicians and instruments from across the world. It fuses Azeri, Chinese, Indian, Arabic, Afghan, Armenian and Persian music, brought to the audience by a Western orchestra. The performance was accompanied by two elocutionists who narrated the story and animated clips of birds and their migratory lives. The art and culture of Iran needs no introduction, renowned worldwide. But young Iranian artists living far from home are always looking for ways to capture the spirit of their homeland and offer Western audiences a taste of Iran. Bianca Rahimi, London.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Axolotls are unique Mexican amphibians at risk of extinction, and many conservation programs are now trying to save these strange-looking animals. An ecological park in Mexico City is the latest place to celebrate them. It has held a ceremony for releasing baby axolotls into their natural habitat, which is the mud. These amphibians are so special that even a number of city officials attended the event. Conservationists say having a clean environment is key to their survival.
I've managed to breed up to 22,000 axolotls. In all of Xochimilco, there are 90 axolotls across 90 kilometers, but the quality of the axolotls depends on the quality of biologist you are. Bad quality water has killed anywhere from 12,000 to 15,000.
Researchers have discovered that axolotls can absorb oxygen from the surface of their skin and are therefore more vulnerable to dirty water and environments. More than 70 breeding centers across Mexico have joined the rally of saving these critically endangered species. Many are even marketing them as ideal pets, but to animal advocates, keeping axolotls as pets is a definite no-no.
Now, for those who are interested in archaeology, the remains of 14 mummies have been unearthed at an ancient site in central Peru. The mummies, believed to be over 1,000 years old, include 6 children and 8 adults. The tomb containing the bodies was found at an archaeological complex about 25 kilometers from the capital, Lima. Researchers discovered other objects such as clay pots, decorated calabashes, and some knitting gears near the mummies. They believe the children and adults were sacrificed in honor of a prominent local figure whose mummified body was found last November in the same area. Van Dalen says the discovery provides them with the oldest evidence of child sacrifice associated with the burial of an elite character in the pre-Inca era. The city of Cajamarquia, which was built out of mud in around 200 BC, is considered as one of the largest archaeological complexes in Peru.
A miniature bull in Germany's Bavaria is proving that size does not matter, as the small bovine makes himself comfortable in his new herd at an animal sanctuary. This tiny bull had a lucky escape and was rescued from a farmer who was taking him to a slaughterhouse. The mini cow is named Napoleon and was born with a genetic defect. Just 8 months old, the diminutive bull has already reached his full size. Napoleon might be small, but he is mighty and daring, as he is not afraid of joining a herd consisting of big and huge animals.
Napoleon belongs to the Dexter breed, which produces rather small cattle anyway. They grow up to be about 1.2 meters. With his 80 centimeters, he's of course far below that. Despite his size, he feels like a complete bull and is in a good mood. He has settled in with us very quickly, which we are very happy about. He also has a lively effect on the herd.
The little bovine now lives with 100 other rescued livestock. His rescuers say he gets along with other animals and has already become friendly with another rescued cow. The Dexter is a breed of cattle first originated in Ireland. They are usually bred for high-quality meat and milk. An Indonesian man frees a crocodile of a tire that was stuck around its neck some 6 years ago. Tilly, a self-taught rescuer and resident of Central Sulawesi province, captured the reptile and cut the tie using a small saw with the help of some locals. The animal had been too smart to be trapped. Tilly says he had been tracking the reptile for weeks using a basic trap with a rope tied to a log. He used live chickens and dogs as bait to lure the reptile. The crocodile drew the sympathy of local residents who worried the tire would choke as it grows in size. Tilly says his main motive was to help animals, claiming it was not his first experience dealing with a crocodile.
Biologists in Peru release 2 birds back to their natural habitat after weeks of efforts to attend and conserve dozens of animals affected by an oil spill. 2 birds were among some 200 animals found dehydrated and were brought to a veterinary hospital for treatment. Veterinarians, biologists, and volunteers have been leading the cleanup operation of the affected coast close to the capital, Lima. So far, several species have been released after rehabilitation. An oil tanker off the coast of Peru was hit by waves triggered by a volcanic eruption miles away in Tunga in January. Some 6,000 barrels of oil spilled into the ocean that polluted waters and beaches along Peru's Pacific coast.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره، همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali عليه السلام, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being. A brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام اذكروا انقطاع اللذات وبقاء التبعات.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam stated, "Remember that pleasures will pass away, while the consequences will stay."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam. In this very interesting and sometimes strange world that we live in, we have a tendency to value a human being based upon the completely wrong thing. So, for example, we think that somebody's value comes from the amount of money they have saved in their bank account. Or we sometimes, unfortunately, believe that a human being's value comes from the amount of wealth that they earn, the income level that they are at. Or sometimes we unfortunately think that an individual and a human being's worth is based upon the clothes that they wear, or the things that they own, or how big their house is, or how expensive their car is. Right? Or sometimes we tend to unfortunately think that the value of a human being is based upon their social status or their political power or their social circle. Allahu Akbar. All things that we unfortunately believe give worth and value to a human being. But we turn to the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says that a human being's worth is to the extent of their comprehension, their knowledge, and their praiseworthy deeds. Allahu Akbar. All of the things that we listed in the beginning of this segment, those are not things which give worth and value to a human being. Rather, as Imam Ali's universal persona says, a human being's worth comes from the amount of comprehension they have, the amount of ma'rifah, knowledge, understanding that they have. In addition to that, the comprehension and the ma'rifah is the knowledge and the ilm that they have. And not just the ilm and the knowledge on, tangent things. Knowledge of Allah, knowledge of the religion, knowledge of the infallible imams, knowledge of the truth and the reality that is present. And finally, just comprehension and ma'rifah and just knowledge and ilm is not enough. There is one more thing that Imam Ali alayhi salam says brings worth and value to a human being, and that is their praiseworthy deeds. Knowledge must be accompanied with action. We might have all the knowledge in the world, and we might have all the understanding and comprehension in the world, but when it comes to our actions, we falter, we take missteps, or God forbid we go in the opposite direction, then this is not valuable. What is valuable in the divine realm and in this realm is comprehension, knowledge, and praiseworthy deeds. This is what brings a human being value. A profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
اللهم صل على أسألك الأمان يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
Oh Allah, I ask you for the protection on the day when property will not avail, nor sons except he who comes with a heart free from evil.
وَأَسْأَلُكَ الْأَمَانَ يَوْمَ يَعُضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ.
And I ask you for protection on the day when the unjust one will bite his hands, saying, "Oh, would that I had taken away with the messenger."
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
We are on two sides. Either you love Ali ibn Abi Talib or you hate Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's if you know Ali ibn Abi Talib. And that is why we find a hadith from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. أنه قال لعليٍ يا علي لا يحبك إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضك إلا منافق. He says, oh Ali, no. That those who love you, that is a sign of iman, yeah. And for those who hate you, that is a sign of nifaq, hypocrisy in their hearts. Now, we need to look, before we describe what is it about Imam Ali alayhi salam that makes him loved and hated at the same time so much, we need to have an introduction to understand this whole idea or this concept of this jazibiyah, as it is known in Arabic, this attraction. You know, when you meet a believer, for example, it is something which attracts one another to the believers. And this is an automatic attraction and repulsion. Another story that I remembered today while I was thinking of this is when I was in university. And we were taking a course for criminal justice. It's a huge auditorium, a few hundred people. One person looked like an Arab guy. We started talking to one another. And in the first day we were talking, and he said to me, "What's your name?" So I said, "Ja'far." Now, my brother's Ja'far is a Shia name, yes? And I asked him, "What is..." And he smiled. He gave a little smirk, yeah? So I said, "Okay, this is either good or this is bad, yeah?" So he said, "What is your name?" He said, "Abbas." You know the first thing we did? We hugged. That was the first thing. Why? Because we had iman in common. Yeah? We knew that we had something in common that was stronger than anything else. Now, if he was another name, maybe we still would have hugged. Allahu A'lam. But I know that this attraction that I felt for him was for his iman. And that is why we became close friends. So this agrees, or this attraction is there within us, where people who have similarities will find attraction to one another.
Listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked among
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned. In a beautiful hadith narrated by Sheikh Al-Kulaini in Kitab al-Nikah, the main characteristics of the best women are enumerated. One of such traits is to be lovable to her husband. This means that a woman loves her husband and claims this love for him. In other words, expressing love in both action and words. Yet, another important character of a good woman in Islam is to be chaste. To be chaste means to cover herself with hijab and to be modest in her behavior and not to be attractive to any person other than her husband. Another trait mentioned by Sheikh Al-Kulaini in Kitab al-Nikah is to be dear in the eyes of her husband and the family of her husband. Unfortunately, we can see today that some of the women have no ties with their husband's family, either their mother-in-law or sister-in-law. To be dear for a woman near husband's family means not to be arrogant or boastful when facing them. The wife also must not cut the ties between husband and his family. Thus, a woman must keep a type of balance in her relations with the family of her husband and to be dear to them as if she is dear to her own family. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا.
And the day when the wrongdoer will bite at his hands, he will say, Oh, would that I had taken a path with the messenger.
Brothers and sisters, the 27th verse of the chapter says, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. And on the day when the unjust one shall bite his hands, saying, Oh, would that I had taken away alone with the messenger. And then continues, Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Oh, woe is me. Would that I had not taken such a one for a friend. In this regard, the commentators have narrated an occasion of revelation for these verses. Let me give you a short summary of the occasion of revelation. At the time of Prophet ﷺ, there were two friends named Uqba and Ubay among the polytheists. Whenever Uqba returned from a journey, he prepared some food and invited wealthy people of his tribe to a party. Meanwhile, he liked to go to the Prophet ﷺ and to be with him for a while, though he had not accepted Islam. One day, he prepared some food as usual. He invited his friends as well as the Holy Prophet ﷺ. When the food was ready to be served, the Prophet ﷺ told Uqba, I will not eat your food unless you testify to the unity of Allah and my mission. Uqba testified that there is no God besides Allah, and he testified that Muhammad is the apostle of Allah. Ubay heard this news, and he said to his friend, You have deviated from your religion, O Uqba. And his friend Uqba said, No, by God I did not. But a man came to me who did not eat my food unless I testified to Allah's unity and his mission. I was ashamed that he was about to leave my home without eating my food, so I testified. At this time, Ubay said, I will not be happy with you unless you stand before him and insult him. At this time, Uqba did this action and apostatized. Finally, he was killed with other pagans in the Battle of Badr. His friend Ubay was also killed in the Battle of Uhud. These verses were sent down at this time and explain the destiny of the man who had a deviated friend, and this is what caused him to go astray. We have repeatedly said that through the occasions of revelation, there are some particular and special events that made this verse to be sent down. But they never limit the concept of holy verses. The generality of the verses of the Holy Quran include all similar people at every time. Anyway, this was the occasion of revelation regarding these verses.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this
series
of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
The Day of Resurrection has very strange scenes. Some of them are mentioned in the previous holy verses, and in the concerned verses here, there is another part which is brought up. And that issue is the extraordinary regret of the oppressors about their past. So, at first it is said, يَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. On that day, the unjust one shall bite his hands. يَقُولْ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. He will say, oh, would that I had taken away alone with the messenger. The Arabic word يَعَضُّ is derived from the word عَضْ, which means grip with teeth. This is usually used about the persons who are upset because of different reasons like regret and sorrow. But in the Arabic language, instead of finger that we say in Farsi, hand is used. And it seems that this is more expressive because a man in such situations does not bite his finger, but he bites the back of his hand. In the Arabic language, it is seen many times, such as this verse, that both hands are referred to. In this way, the intensity of regret, the intensity of sorrow is expressed better. And this is perhaps due to this matter, that when such people review their past, when they see that they have brought nothing with them, when they see that they themselves are responsible and guilty, they decide to revenge themselves so that they can somehow get calm and be soothed. So this is one possible reason for mentioning يَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away?